May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, adoption gets a bad rap. When I was growing up, for example, my older siblings would sometimes subject me to some psychological jabs. Since I had come along 8 years after my three older siblings, I was sometimes referred to as having been adopted. Today, I'm embarrassed by the fact that this used to bother me. I wish today that I had embraced it back then. You know how it is, how often we think to ourselves, if I had only known then what I know now. But why embrace it? Because God's word, dear Christians, says to you and says to me that every single one of us here today for whom Christ died and rose, and for us who have been baptized into the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, have been adopted into God's kingdom, into God's family, into God's magnificent and eternal love and mercy for us, with the promise that He shall never, ever let us go. This is where the proverbial rubber hits the road in terms of what makes faith so invaluable. Last week I explained that faith is, first of all, something that is true. Secondly, it is trustworthy. Thirdly, it lives in the reality of the promises that are given. Or simply said, it takes God up on His truth and trustworthiness. It actually lives in His grace, walks in His grace, expresses its life in God's grace. This is faith. To understand it simply, think of St. Peter. Peter, when he saw Jesus walking on the water, firstly, believed that Jesus was really there. That is the true, actual Jesus. Faith does that. And secondly, he believed that Jesus was able to call him unto himself, even upon the water. And lastly, Peter actually stepped out. And indeed, before he began to sink, Peter was walking on water. That's faith. I bring this up because adoption is the assurance that you have been given this gift of faith. It is the guarantee that God has called you, that God has united you to Jesus. There's no doubt. You have received the grace of God. You have received the gift. And that's what it is, a faith. It is the assurance that you are never, ever alone, but always and constantly with the Holy Spirit. Do you have faith? Don't go to your gut. You might confuse it with the pizza and pepperoni you had last night. Instead, you can answer the question by asking another question. Have I been adopted or not? The answer is yes, especially when you understand when and how God adopts you. And the answer is in holy baptism. And by the power of the Word of God contained in the water, which joined you to Jesus. This is the promise of God. This is what God says. And if you are adopted, then you, Christian, have been given the gift of faith. No matter how much you sense that you fluctuate, no matter how much you struggle. If you know this, Christian, then you are called to live in great confidence. Don't be shy about it now. You are called to live in the power of faith. Faith It might not be impressive to the world in its very confused understanding about faith, but it is true faith that leads you to face anything in this life, even when you bear the cross in tears, to know that God will never forsake you. No, this doesn't mean that you and I always get what we want or even what we think we need. But it does mean that God will keep holding us as His adopted children, and He will always find a way to bless us. And the reason you know that these are not just pious platitudes is because the one who guarantees your adoption lived and died for you. Such faith flows from the knowledge that Jesus gave up His life for you. And if God loves you that much, the Father will not allow anything to interfere with the truth or dishonor the saving gospel of His Son. Faith knows this to be true, because your faith knows that you're adopted. You belong to God. This faith figures that if Jesus could give up His life for me, then I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He will always be there. He assures me of this reality because He came to me in holy baptism. He adopted me when I was a poor, helpless sinner and could do nothing to save myself. And this is what makes our faith so glorious. Even in this veil of tears in the world, and even as we bear our crosses, it is true and it's extremely relevant. The world needs to know this about the Christian faith. Not only is it true, but it is absolutely relevant. It's true based on what actually corresponds to a real state of affairs of what happened historically in space-time continuum. But it is also exceedingly relevant. The world needs this sense of truth and relative and relevance and importance and meaning. It is true, and it's hard to admit if you are a Laker fan like me, that this past week the Miami Heat won their third NBA championship. But many of us could care less. It may be true, but it isn't terribly relevant to your life. But when it comes to faith, when it comes to the truth of the gospel of Jesus and the life it produces in becoming adopted heirs of God, means that our whole life is impacted. We have clarity about who we are, about our purpose here, and where we're going. And we have gifts poured out from God to live as His adopted people, to make a difference in the lives of people around you. The faith is true. It is relevant. It is exciting. And it's on account of our adoption that we actually begin to see clearly about these things. But it begins by embracing the guarantee that you are indeed a child of God. Not called to doubt who you are. Get thee behind me, Satan. But to be absolutely clear about it, you are a child of God because you're adopted. That means that this word adopted can't be a weird thing for us, but it's a glorious status. We should say with pride and joy, I'm adopted. When Tracy and I adopted 5 of our 8 children by the grace of God and only by His grace, our lives changed for the good. It taught us to live our faith, to get out of ourselves, and it has humbled us more than we can say. I once thought that I had raising children down. Then God humbled me. And true to the saying, dear Christians, humility really is good for the soul. The Lord also corrected my feeble and sinful ideas. To my great shame, many years ago, before our first adoption, I had once wondered if I could love an adoptive child as much as when born from my wife's womb. Now I ask myself, how could I ever have asked such a question? The answer is absolutely. And to the extent that I cannot imagine my life without Christina and David, who leapt into my arms last month. It's Beatty, Brian, and Catherine. As time goes on, I know that we're living out God's plan for us, inextricably contributing to our formation as Al and Tracy on planet Earth. In addition, I have seen many added instances of love poured out that I would never have seen. My wife has taught our children that to be adopted is to be absolute, to be additionally loved. It means that natural parents loved you and wanted more for you than what they could give. And it means that adoptive parents chose you and wanted to give you the best they had to offer. Tracy has put it this way to our children: you were born in your birth mommy's tummy, and you were born in my heart. My wife has put adoption in terms of second birth, and in doing so has paralleled the teaching of God's word. That is exactly what adoption is. The result of our being baptized, born again, clothed with Christ. See the connection within today's epistle. First, we are assured of being united to Christ through baptism. Read with me, please, on page 15, Galatians 3:27. This is where the logical, theological progression is presented. First, we are assured of being united to Christ through baptism. We read together. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Second, we are therefore given assurance that we are saved, since Christ, whom we have put on, came to, Galatians 4:5, we read together, redeem those who were under the law. Third, we now have a new status. We read together, Galatians 4:5 again, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And finally, this impacts our lives to the extent that we now have the Holy Spirit and a new standing and status with God. We read together Galatians 4:6-7. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. The original language here is delightful. We are being taught that we are no longer a child confined to a babysitter or a wet nurse, a picture for the law in this text. That child, once confined to a babysitter, in the Greek is referred to as a napios, which is a non-speaking one who is no different than a slave who has no rights in this context to speak up. The napios will not be heard. But now that Christ has liberated us by His life, death, and resurrection, and adopted us through baptism, and given the gift of the Holy Spirit to us, we are no longer a napios child with no voice and with no rights. But you are now a huios, or a son. The point here, by the way, is not about sex or gender, but about legal standing. Huios son means an heir with full rights, male or female. To clarify that God isn't talking about gender, consider in the same epistle, Galatians 3:28, that says that in Christ there's neither male nor female. Now here's the thing about the huios over the napios. You now have full rights. You can speak and you will be heard. You have a voice because you're an adopted child of God who is dearly loved by the Father. The Father cares about every prayer you offer up, regardless. And they are prayers that have His complete attention, even as He answers them according to what is best for us, even if we don't see it. In the meantime, all that is the Father is yours, your family now. It's true. When the Lord led us to adopt our children, they left their old lives behind and entered our lives. And what is ours is now theirs. Our house, which is God's house, provided by you, my church family, when you called us, is not my house. It's our family's house. It is Catherine's house, Brian's house, it's Beatty's house, David's house, and Christina's house. In fact, in some ways, it's more their house than it is mine. There are many days that they enjoy it much more than I do. And furthermore, the children are fortunate enough to have their own rooms, a distinction that I don't have. Not that I'm complaining. But you've probably noticed that this Lutheran pastor of yours really hasn't preached the law. I've been saving it for now. Tracy and I quickly learned that many people struggle to get adoption. 15 years ago or so, Tracy was in a grocery store, and a woman was gazing at our baby. She would look at the baby, and then look at Tracy. Look at Tracy, look at the baby. And this expression of complete and utter bewilderment was all over her face. She just couldn't make sense of her assumption. How did this white-skinned, blue-eyed, blonde-haired woman give birth to this dark-skinned, brown-eyed, and black-haired baby? The woman just couldn't help herself, and so she asked my wife, right there in the grocery store, "What does the Father look like?" Now, I'm going to stop the story there. You can ask my wife what she said if you want to. An answer that might be characterized under the heading of the weakness of the flesh. But this is not an uncommon scenario. There is a natural dissonance that takes place in the minds of many people. But it is one that precisely makes the point about how we struggle with this amazing truth of our adoption. We look at God. He is righteous. He is holy. He is pure. And then we look at ourselves. We look at God. We look at us. We look at us. We look at God. It doesn't compute. How can this be? Where did you come from? And then we doubt. And then we doubt. This is our sin. We terribly underestimate the power and the reality of God's amazing grace. We doubt and we question the truth and the power of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We try to convince ourselves that our baptism was just some ceremony that happened a long time ago. And we sinfully underestimate exactly what happened when we were adopted. And therefore we question the very adoption itself. In our sin, we treat that which is extremely and indescribably valuable as if it had no value. This very thing happened to the Christian monks at St. Catherine's Monastery on Mount Sinai in Egypt. The monks were visited in 1844 by a German researcher named Konstantin von Tischendorf. And I know I butchered the pronunciation, my dear daughter, who now knows German. Who had come to search for ancient manuscripts of the Bible's Old and New Testaments. He found piles of extremely valuable Bible manuscripts that were sitting in a waste basket, waiting to be burned. Included in this waste basket were two of the most ancient and valuable manuscripts of the Bible that survive to this day. The monks of St. Catherine's had no idea of the immense value of what they possessed, taken from an article within Good News. I mention that out loud because I can't recommend this periodical to you enough. It is fantastic. This is what we do with our adoption guarantee, with the saving gospel of Jesus, and with our magnificent baptism. How often do we toss these aside? And we let them linger by the wastebasket as we tend to what we sinfully think is so much more important in life. We dabble with the things that are passing away, things that will be forgotten at the expense of neglecting the most important and lasting things. But thanks be to God, this is not what the Lord has done or is doing with you. Since He has covered you with Christ and holy baptism, you have received a totally new status in God's sight. God, in His miracle of baptism, has adopted you and immediately covers you with Christ's perfect righteousness and holiness. God has declared you redeemed, purchased from the realm of sin and death. Has declared you justified, declared righteous. He no longer sees your sin. Others may see it, you see it, but God doesn't. Why? Because Christ has covered you with His blood. God baptized you into His Son. Because you're adopted. That's why. You are God's very own. Welcomed into His family, belonging to His household with full rights, filled with the Holy Spirit, with a voice that cries out, Abba, Father. And the Lord hears you and answers you because He now counts you as family. Welcome to His table, where you are served and strengthened by Christ's body and blood, which does more than galvanize your adoption. But don't be surprised by this, because you're family now. What is the Lord's is yours, even to the extent of giving you His very body and blood, guaranteeing the sanctity of His words to you. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. You have these gifts because He's adopted you. And now, as Galatians 4:1 says, you are the owner of everything. That which belongs to the Father, like eternal life and eternal love, are yours. All of these belong to you. You, God's adopted child. Thank God, you are adopted. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until He comes again in glory. Amen. Please remain seated.
At this time,
I call for my good brother in the Lord, our brother in the Lord, Dan Ambrose, who is already confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. I also would call forward Laura Fulton, who is a sponsor today. Videotaping is fine, just don't take any flash photography because God is here. In a second, we'll take pictures afterwards. Also, I have the privilege of Sam Navarre, who will also be a sponsor for Dan Ambrose.
That is born of God.
Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day, He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead.
Yes, I believe.
Then we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Yes, I believe.
Then, do you desire to be baptized?
Yes, I believe.
Then, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with grace of life everlasting.
Amen.
Receive the white cloth to show you the clothes of the robe of Christ's righteousness that covers all of your sins. So shall you stand without fear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the inheritance prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Receive this word in life to show that you have received Christ through the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ through His word and sacrament. And be ever watchful through His coming, that you may meet Him with joy. And as a witness of the marriage feast of the Lamb of His kingdom, we shall have no end. In holy baptism, God the Father has made Dan a member of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and heir with us in all the treasures of heaven in one holy Christian and apostolic church. Dan, we receive you in Jesus' name as our brother in Christ, that together we might hear His word, receive His gifts, and proclaim the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous
light. Amen. We welcome you in the name of the Lord.
In Jesus' name. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the holy Christian church here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, and for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Dear Lord, be with our brother in Christ, fellow member of St. Paul's, Professor Adam Lee, and with the entire Around the World group from CUI, as they are leaving Montenegro and Croatia, going on to Italy. Continue to guide them and bless them as your ambassadors wherever they go. Provide for them in every way. Keep them in the true faith as they travel. Father, we pray that you would help those who are suffering from the fires in Colorado. Grant help and resources and supplies that these fires would be extinguished, that your people there would be preserved. Heavenly Father, we pray for Gladys Dicer and for Bob DeYoung, who have gone through such a struggle in respect to their health and the medical situation. But Lord, we see in both of them the shining light of faith in their eyes. We hear it in their confession. We see it in their joy of receiving the Holy Sacrament. Continue to keep them in your tender mercy and bless them according to your great love for them in Christ. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for baby Jonah Maher, born to Eric and Sarah Maher. Thank you also now for blessing Paul and Ashley, their grandparents now. We praise you, Lord, for how you bless the family through this beautiful baby boy, Jonah. We rejoice that the family looks forward to his baptism soon. Keep them, Lord God, in your tender care. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For in your hand I command myself, my body and soul in all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Please be seated. At this time, we receive the offering. During the offering, please bring the worship communion card that you see behind the chairs and the little pouch. Please use that, fill it out for worship and prayer requests. Also, we do send out a weekly email, kind of a weekly update, and we'd love to include you in that. If you'd like to be included, please include your email address. And then, after you fill that out and come forward, please hand that to the usher. All those who confess with us that the true body and true blood of our God and Savior Jesus Christ is actually given in, with, and under the bread and the wine for, as the word says, the forgiveness of sins, receive the sacrament of true faith and therefore receive it according to God's word. If you're still learning about this confession, if you still have questions about what communion is, what the gospel is, who the Lord is, then at this time, please refrain, but know that we want you to come forward, bow your head, that I may give you a blessing, and I look forward to sharing with you more about the teaching in God's word about this precious sacrament, that you can receive it with great joy and confidence.
Thank you. Almighty Father and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and we magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
assurance to Jesus' love for you. Amen. The body of Christ for you. The body of Christ for you.
Page 31, we stand. Lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.